You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent study has shown that the majority of women think they need to take a break from oral contraceptive pills every couple of years. But there's actually no biological evidence for giving your body a break from a contraceptive pill. So how do these myths about contraception come about? I spoke to Family Planning's nurse advisor Lauren Ingram about this issue and started by asking, what are the side effects of the pill?
So when people talk about the pill, they're generally referring to the combined oral contraceptive pill, which is a combination of estrogen and progesterone. And other than possibly a little bit of nausea or a little bit of an off feeling in the first couple of weeks, has minimal side effects.
So recent surveys have shown that over 50% of 18 to 19 year old women think that they need to take a break when they are taking this combined pill. Why do you think that myth has come to be?
Well, it's misleading given that there is a break on the pill packet. There's a 7-day break from hormones, and those have been around since the pill was invented, and it was to appease the Catholic Church a long, long, long time ago. So at Family Planning, we've been promoting skipping that pill-free interval for quite a long time now, and that message, it is getting out.
So what is the benefit to skipping that period? Is it recommended over actually taking those hormone pills?
Yeah, so it is what we recommend, and I should say you're not skipping a period, because when you take those pills and get a bleed, it's not a period in the true sense of a natural period when you're not on the pill. So you're just skipping a little withdrawal bleed. And what it means is that you get better protection basically from that continued ovulation suppression. So not having that break means you are keeping everything muted for longer.
Are there any other myths surrounding other contraceptive measures, such as the IUD? Or
a big myth that doesn't seem to go away about getting an IUD is that women have to have had a baby or have completed having their babies before they can get them, and it's just not true. We put them into women that haven't had deliveries or babies all the time really successfully.
Why do you think that there are so many myths just surrounding contraception in general, and how can we work to dispel these?
I think where everybody gets their information is so incredibly different, whereas some schools are really good at promoting sexuality education and a really comprehensive sex ed program. Other people are getting information from their parents or from Google or from friends, and sort of a little bit of Chinese whispers that somebody's mother one day had a really bad experience, and that gets spread around to all of the friends. So we would hope that people would come and speak to us or speak to a doctor or have a look at our website or a really reputable source to make sure they're getting absolutely the best information.
Do you think there's any stigma surrounding going to a place like Family Planning, which is maybe why people aren't getting the information they need?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly for young people, they're always concerned about confidentiality and, information being shared and things like that. So if people aren't feeling confident to come straight into one of our clinics, then our website is a really good place to start.
Also, are there any disparities in sexual health knowledge amongst the NZ population?
There's huge disparities, and it really depends on what sort of program was run at school or what sort of family environment you've grown up in. Religious beliefs, everything makes a difference to what people know and what people believe.
And how do you think this gap can be closed? Would it just be coming to clinics such as yourself, or should there be a compulsory school program education? What do you think is the best way?
I think it would be great if we had really good comprehensive sex ed in schools, and starting at an early age and getting people young, at an appropriate level for their age.
Do you have any last things you'd like to add regarding contraceptive measures in general or sexual health, which you think is important to be talking about in this day and age?
I think it's just really important for people to come and see us and ask the question. So there's no harm in coming and seeing us and having a discussion. There's no need to start anything on this particular day if you didn't want to. But come in and let us talk about all the options and dispel all of those myths.
Laura also mentioned earlier in the interview about the religiously influenced origin of the pill, which I'd like to briefly elaborate on. So anyone who's familiar with oral contraception is probably aware of the concept of placebo pills. And these pills are a week's worth of inactive tablets taken at the end of each month, triggering withdrawal bleeding, which has been medically proved to be deemed unnecessary for years. But weirdly enough, the reason for the placebo pills lies within the Catholic Church, as one of the main scientists who helped develop the birth control pill back in the early 1900s, John Rock, was a devout Catholic, and Dr. Rock was one of the people who developed the pills, knowing that the Catholic Church viewed birth control as a sin unless there were natural reasons that prevented pregnancy, and he hoped the Pope would accept the pill if people taking it still had a period. So there's actually been no evidence showing that the extended cycle period pills are any more harmful in any sense.
I feel like it's quite crazy because I didn't know about the backstory. I don't think many people know about the backstory of those placebo pills. But also, I remember being told back when I was taking the pill that, you could potentially take it several months in a row without taking your placebo pills, but you had to be quite careful because that could, I don't know, like lead to you being sterile or like quite frightening things that could happen to you if you were doing that.
Yeah, it's odd.
And that you had to sort of like let your body bleed out.
It just seems amazing.
Every few months just for the sake of it.
It's just amazing that there are still these misconceptions or that there's still this sort of religious background or something and that people are going to grow up thinking that that's how it is.
I mean, for a long time, I didn't even know that these placebo pills was just withdrawal. I genuinely thought it was a period. It's not a natural period. It's triggered bleeding.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it seems like there's still... I had a lot of sexual health education at school, but I'm still pretty... found myself...
And I would say a lot of people probably didn't.
I know.
Even in this day and age.
Yeah, for sure, exactly. And then furthermore, at like boys' schools, like they would probably have absolutely no idea about half of it, so...
Yep.
I feel like the most worrying thing, though, is that it seems professionals that...
aren't properly informed.
They aren't either, and they would make call and then they would kind of tell you frightening things, but they're not more educated than you are, which they probably should be.
Yeah, and I hadn't even heard of extended cycle pills before today.
Exactly.
So something interesting.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.